You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we return to the book of Acts in the Bible. Last week we took a look at the conversion of Saul in chapter 9. Now we're all the way up to chapter 20. And in today's reading, we're going to find that Paul ends up close to where Ephesus is located. He sends for the men who live there, whom he has trained to be pastors, that they would come to where he is and he can talk to them a final time. God has made it known to him that he will not see them again. So he's going to say some very important things to these men. And as we go over them today, I hope they are inspiring to all of us. But at the same time, though, let's know that doing what he did, saying what he said, that does not save us. That's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all about who he is, the Son of God, and how he lived for us, how he suffered for us, how he died for us. He is our way to heaven. However, though, to have people like our Lord Jesus Christ as an example, to have people like St. Paul as an example, those are powerful things for us in our lives in Christ. Today, as we go to Acts chapter 20, we go to verse 17 of the text, and the Bible says, "Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him." So what had happened is that Paul was on a ship and he came to Miletus, right on the western coast of modern-day Turkey. And when he came there with the ship, he was about 30 miles away from Ephesus. So he sent some men to go to Ephesus. And why is that? Because Paul had earlier, on his third missionary journey, he had spent 3 years in Ephesus. He was there teaching and preaching people the word of God. He was training men to be pastors. And now he wanted those men to come to where he was so he could talk to them for a final time. The Bible says, "When they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.'" So as Paul spoke to those men, he was reminding them as to who he was and what he had done among them. So he said, "Guys, you might remember when I was with you, I was not selfish. Also, too, you might remember that when there were people who were rejecting Jesus as their Savior, I was so sad about that, I was in tears because I so much wanted them to receive Jesus as their Savior." And then he also reminded them, saying, "When I was there with you, I was trying to be a blessing, and yet there were many Jews who were opposing me, even as the Jews opposed our Lord Jesus Christ." He also talked how he did not hold back when he was teaching. Sometimes we hold back saying things because we know people don't want to hear them, or we think people don't want to hear them, or we think, "Oh, if I say it, they might be offended. I better keep my mouth shut." Are we that way sometimes? We can be, but Paul was saying, "I was not that way among you. I knew it was in the Word of God, and I told it to you whether you liked it or not." And then he focused in this section on saying that for everyone, I told them about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the important things. We can talk to people about a lot of different things in life, but most important, though, would be repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we talking about? Repentance is a God-worked sorrow for sin. So when people are sorry for their sins, that is something that God has worked in them, and God has worked that by his Spirit through his word. What is faith in Jesus Christ? That is a God-given trust in Jesus as our Savior. So in both cases, God has to do the work of working repentance. God has to do the work of giving the gift of faith. If we have those two things going on within our lives, let us give thanks to God, and let us pray that God will keep us sorry for our sins, and God will keep us ever trusting in Jesus until finally we see him face to face. Going further in our text, picking up in verse 22, the Bible says, keep in mind now, Paul is continuing to talk to these men. I should have explained this earlier, but these men are called elders. But what is an elder in the Bible? An elder is a pastor. So he's talking to these men who are serving as pastors in the area of Ephesus. He said to them, and now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So the idea of a course, and Paul was determined to finish the course. And then he said, and now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I think for most of us, we are sorry for our sins, we are trusting in Jesus, and we want to honor our Lord in our lives. For the most part, okay? But I think, though, that probably for all of us, including me, we tend to put limits on those things. Here's what I mean. So, yes, we're sorry for our sins, but do we ever say this, Lord, I am sorry for these sins, but I'm not quite so sorry for these sins over here? Do you ever think that way or feel that way sometimes? Or maybe we say this, Jesus, I trust in you for heaven. However, though, when it comes to my retirement, my trust is in my bank account. Is that a way we should be? But can we fall into that, though, pretty easily? Now, what about this one? Lord, I'm willing to gather in the church. I want to hear about Jesus. I want to hear about his work. I want to hear about forgiveness. However, though, don't expect me to say any such things to other people. So we tend to limit things, don't we? So there's a great blessing over here, but then we don't let it pass all the way over here. We can all be that way, I believe, in certain ways, to certain degrees. And not good. May God work a change within us. But what about Paul, though? Was Paul that way? He was not. He was an amazing man. So he was fully determined to live for Christ, no matter if it meant imprisonment for him, no matter if it meant pain for him, no matter if it meant death for him. He was fully committed. He was going to go all the way, no matter what. In other words, we could say that Paul loved Jesus more than he loved his own life. When I make that statement, it reminds me of a book that some of you have read. I passed the copy I have around a little bit. But basically, the title is Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it picks up back with the apostles, and it covers about 1,700 years. And it talks about various people throughout that period of time who have been put to death because of their relationship with Jesus. And right in the front of the book, it has a theme verse. It's Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, and they overcame him, talking about the devil, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. In other words, kind of like Paul, they loved Jesus, they loved the gift of salvation, they loved their relationship with him more than they loved their very own physical lives. Paul was in that category. It's a great category for us to be in too. Also too here, Paul said to the people that he did not hold back on what he said to them, so he preached to them the entire word of God. Lenski put it this way, regarding all of the word of God, he said, every doctrine and every truth of God, omitting, altering, toning down nothing. That was Paul. Well, he gave them the entire thing, the whole kitchen sink. He gave them all of it. And then why did he do that, though? See, as an apostle, as a pastor, if I say to you everything, then I'm without responsibility then. In other words, if I give you the whole word of God, if you embrace it and benefit from it, that's great. But if you end up rejecting part or all of the word of God, well, the problem is that ends up being on you, not on me, because I told you. The problem becomes if I don't tell you, then it's my fault and I'm in trouble. So it's important for pastors to tell the whole truth of God and of course, hoping and praying that everyone will hear it, understand it, embrace it, benefit from it. But Paul was saying, though, I did that. I told the entire thing, so I'm innocent of the blood of all of you. And then we pick up with our text again in verse 28. Paul said now to these men who are serving as pastors, he said to them, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So you can see there that he uses another word now. So he calls the men elders or pastors, also refers to them as overseers. So really it's talking about the same position, describing the work in a little bit different way. But those are various names for pastors. Also, too, Paul was saying that it's important for a pastor that when he reads the word of God, first of all, he's taking and applying that to himself, and after he has done that, then he is able to make application to the people in his flock. Another thing Paul noted there is that Paul said for pastors, when they look out at the people who are in their congregation, pastors should see their people to be very precious. Now, it doesn't mean I'm looking at all of you and seeing like a dollar sign on your forehead. It's not like that in a way, but rather what he's saying is these are people that Jesus has purchased with his holy, precious blood. They are valuable in the sight of God. So he wants pastors to see the people as valuable as well. So that's what he's getting at there. And then he did say, though, that right from within those congregations in Ephesus, there were going to be fierce wolves that would rise up. In other words, people that you would think, oh, he's my brother in Christ, and yet he's going to rise up. He's going to start saying things that are twisted, things that are not true, and he's going to try to pull people away from trusting in Jesus. So Paul warned that that would happen. Now, how much falsehood does it take in order to ruin a person for eternity? Lenski made this note, thinking about the idea of fierce wolves. He wrote, one fang of a fierce wolf or false doctrine may cause faith to bleed to death. So when we have something that's not true, it's not a good thing. And sometimes when we have something that's not true, it can grow into more things that are not true until finally we end up being without Jesus Christ. So how do we stay away from that? We stay away from that by being in the Word. And then Paul said something similar there. Keep in mind, he was seeing these men. God had made it known to him. He was seeing these men for the very last time. Never on earth again would he see them. So Paul says to them, "Gentlemen, I'm commending all of you to the Word of God. I'm not going to be here anymore, so stay in the Word and God will bless you." He also commended them to the inheritance that they had coming because of their own relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that when they finally died in Christ, they would be with all the others who have already died in Christ. So that way, they can go and do their work. They can do it faithfully. They can know that when the end comes, God will bless them forever. And then finally here at the end of our text, Paul said to them, "I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So Paul was very unique. The Bible does say that a person, for example, like myself, who serves a congregation, the Bible says it's perfectly acceptable for someone like myself to receive my income from the congregation. However, Paul, knowing that reality, Paul said, "I'm not going to do that. Rather, I'm not going to take anything from the congregation. I'm not going to take anything from the people I'm working with. Rather, I'm going to do my own work on the side. I'm going to make my own money, and then I'm going to still serve as best I can." So Paul chose to do that. And then Paul made the statement and said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." How many of you can wholeheartedly agree with that statement? It is more blessed to give than to receive. I mean to agree with it in such a way that you're probably giving away more than you are receiving. Can anyone raise their hand to that? Okay, I don't see any hands. But let's think about that phrase for a moment as I conclude today. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I think when it comes to the receiving, that's what our old nature likes. We like when people give us stuff, right? That would be the old nature. But being in Christ, though, we also have the new nature. So the new nature understands that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that's a way for us to do a little bit of a checkup maybe in our lives and say, where am I at? Am I receiving more or am I giving more? In other words, is my old nature dominating my life or is my new nature dominating my life? Now, let's be honest. As Christians, we all have both. And we're never going to completely get rid of the old nature this side of heaven. But yet God wants our new nature to dominate more and more. Now, some people might say, wait a minute now, if I keep giving and giving and giving, I'm going to have less and less and less. Doesn't that make sense? But what does the Bible say there over in Proverbs 11:24? It says, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly and comes to poverty." It makes no sense, does it? It's saying for the one who gives more, he gets more, and the one who holds on to what he has more ends up having less. It makes no sense. But God's able to work that out, though. So God challenges us in all kinds of ways to trust him, to love him, to follow his word, to share him with others, and so many things. The problem is we are all poor, miserable sinners on one hand, but the good news is that in Christ, we are God's forgiven children holy in his sight. We have Jesus Christ. We have our ticket to heaven. And let's know such things. Let's rejoice in such things. And let's go forward that we might understand that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then, by God's grace, by his power, by his guidance, let us put such things into practice. The challenge today is to think about what Paul did and then to take one of his examples and to put it into practice in your life. There are a number of them in there. Paul did not shrink from declaring the truth. Paul said, pay careful attention to yourself. Paul said, I commend you to the word of God. Paul said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Those are some of the examples. May God help us to latch onto one of them and try to figure out how we might apply it to our lives so that God is glorified and so that others are blessed. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we think about the life of Paul, he was so fully committed to living for you. Forgive us where we fall short, and then inspire us by the life of Paul. Strengthen us by the Holy Spirit. Help us that we might go forward unto the glory of the Father and also unto the benefit of others. Lord Jesus, in your holy name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.